back to something else which has been fairly lively, the teachers' conferences. We heard earlier in the programme from Pat King, the General Secretary of the ASTI, and also from the Minister for Education and Science, Rory Quinn. And we're going now to our reporter, Valerie Cox, who is a veteran of many teacher conferences. Valerie, you're back, I think, in Kilkenny. Now, tell me about, first of all, your response to what happened yesterday. You were there.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm in Wexford this morning, but, you know, we have to pick which day it is, which conference it is. This is the ASTI conference. And we weren't expecting anything really to happen because he got such a good reception when he was in Kilkenny at the INTO conference. So, first of all, we noticed there was a small group of protesters outside the conference hall. But then it continued inside with the heckling, the shouting, the jeering, and even, of course, as you heard earlier, the megaphone being used. Now, I reckon it was a very small number of people, maybe 20, maybe less than that. But then what happened was various others began to join in at various points, including one man at the back of the hall who kept it up throughout. So that was what happened. I was talking to a lot of the members this morning around breakfast time. They are upset about it. It does seem to be a small number. Some people are saying, well, yes, we're glad he knows what we think of him, but we didn't need it to be done like that. The other thing, of course, they're talking about this morning, Sean, is the possibility of a union amalgam. And in his speech this morning, which is just getting underway at the moment, Pat King is just saying, you know, he's talking about two books that were written about the ASTI during the year, and he's advising members to read one of them because he says it just describes in detail the manner in which 10 years ago the ASTI became isolated from the other trade union, from the other teacher unions and from the trade union movement generally. Said we lost influence and we became an isolated, easy target for government. So I think that's going to be the issue that's coming up next.
Right, and elsewhere there's other matters on the agenda this morning.
Yes, if we have a look at the agenda, the issue of young teachers is huge with the ASTI. So I asked two of those young teachers to tell me their stories. This is Keith Howland, followed by Yvonne Rossiter.
I'm on a part-time contract. I know that I'm there till the end of this academic year. In September, I do not know what's going to happen. I'm fortunate enough this year to have a job. In September, I could be again on 8 hours of a resource contract, 8 hours teaching my own subject. Could I get a second job or another job to facilitate this? Not really. I'm there in the school. It might be 8 hours pay, but you're still there 9 to 5. I'm in a situation now at the moment where trying to get a mortgage for start my family home.
Have you got a girlfriend?
I do indeed, yeah. And she's...
So this is serious now?
Oh, this is serious, and it's pressure to get out teaching because it's just a lack of permanency, a lack of concrete pay coming in, a lack of security, and it's just, you can't get anything. You keep working and working and working, but you keep getting hit back with these cuts, with the temporary contracts that you do not know where you're going to be in 9 months' time.
So what would you say to the minister?
I'd ask him that he needs to address the lack of equality and lack of parity of pay. As far as I can see, if this is not addressed, I'm going to be an NQT for the next 20 years.
Now, Yvonne, you're 25 years old and you're part of this whole generation of young teachers who don't have permanent jobs. What's it like for you and your colleagues?
It's very disheartening not knowing where you're going to be based next September. So you feel that as soon as you kind of get used to an area or you get used to having friends around a certain place, you mightn't be there the next September. You have to uproot your whole life. You have to look for new accommodation. You know, you're constantly trying to do it. You're trying to do as many grinds as you can just to get extra money and kind of make ends meet and everything. It's just upsetting not being able to plan where you're going to be in September and having to work on a yearly basis, you know, having to uproot your whole life and move to a different county just to get hours in your subject. So from Patrick's Day onwards, when you go back into the classroom, you just have this sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach that I mightn't see these students again next year. And you're trying to put so much work into your classroom and everything, and you just don't know where you're going to be next September. You could be uprooted to a different county.
I suppose actually looking for a job takes up a lot of time too.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of time, and you have to apply around exam time in school as well. So you're trying to prep them for exams. You're trying to look for a job for yourself. It's the craziest time in school, and it's the one time that you need to be focused in school, and you're at the back of your mind, you're always wondering, where am I going to be next September?
And that's Yvonne Rossiter there, and before her you had Keith Howland, Valerie. I understand there's also some discussion as well about the DESH schools. That stands for Delivering Equality in Schools. What's the concern there?
Well, of course, Sean, these are schools in disadvantaged areas. They have a lot of problems. And Marion, she's a teacher in a Dublin-Desh school, she told me about their situation.
Well, we're facing a lot of students who are dealing with poverty. We're talking about, in some cases, with children who don't have the right shoes, whose shoes leak. We have a breakfast club in the school. And I think the worst problem that Desh schools face is the fact that you're dealing with students, you're trying to encourage them to engage in society, you're trying to encourage them to be ambitious for themselves and to succeed. And given the cutbacks that we are dealing with, particularly in the career guidance area, it's very, very hard. These students need that help. And courtesy of the removal of the ex-quota position of career guidance teachers, they're not getting as much. We'd face a lot of students who have a lot of difficulties and a lot of pressures in their lives. I don't know that it's possible for us to give them the service that they need with the kind of cutbacks we're dealing with.
So what can be done, Miriam? Is it a question of putting more money into the school?
Yes, it's partly a question of more money. Career guidance teachers need to be made ex-quota. I think it's crazy that you have these people who are trained to support students, to help students and their families, and you put them in teaching another subject. They should be doing what they're trained to do, which is to enable students to realise their ambitions. Yeah. Another thing that needs to be done is that we need to have continuity in schools. The current setup whereby teachers are temporary for so long and would be in a school for 1 year and then in another school for another year. In some cases, they might be dividing their hours between two schools. That doesn't work because there's no build-up of creativity, there's no build-up of talent. And speaking as a senior teacher, when you're trying to encourage a department to develop expertise, it's very hard to do that because this time next year you could be dealing with another group of teachers. And the knock-on effect on students is very negative. And again, I'm going back to Desh students in Desh schools. It's very hard for them. They need to be drawn into our society. They need to be encouraged to engage. And when they have a kind of revolving door of teachers, which can happen in some subjects, it doesn't encourage them to develop.
That's teacher Marion there, Valerie. Now, if there's one thing I suppose that ASTI members are worked up about, and we heard earlier in the programme from both the Minister and Pat King, it's this proposed changes and the abolition of the junior cert in its present form.
Yes, Sean, and that's going to come up on several items today and tomorrow. People will be discussing it. Now, I met Donal McCarthy. He's a teacher in the Presentation Secondary School in Wexford Town. And he began by telling me that he believes the situation in schools has deteriorated in the last 5 years.
As I feel that I'm getting the hang of the job more and more, the carpet is being pulled from under me, and those skills can't be put to their full use because the conditions that I'm being asked to perform in are more and more difficult.
With all of these new ideas coming in and teachers being asked to assess their own pupils, is that going to make things better or worse?
I'm very worried about it. I'm not worried because it's change. All teachers change all the time. The problem is that a central contract with the students that we've always had, which is that we tell the students, if you work hard, if you follow the instructions that I give you, and if you go along with me, you will then be able to have an equal playing pitch and you will achieve, and that achievement will be markable against anyone else in the country. We're about to break that if we go forward under the current proposals. Their achievement will not be as benchmarked as it is now. I think we have to be very clear about that.
What about losing the junior cert?
The point has been made a lot that it is no longer the terminal exam, as if that argument trumps every other argument. And it isn't the terminal exam. It isn't the most important thing in the world. And I don't think that any teacher in the country at the moment treats it like that as they teach it. But what we do is we use it as a preparation for other exams and other challenges that they're going to have in the future. We build skills and we also get the students used to the idea of competing with other students in the country to maintain standards within the classroom.
But aren't there kids who will never do the Leaving Cert and to whom that bit of paper for the Junior Cert is desperately important?
There are, of course, and not in my current school so much, but in other schools that I've taught in my career, that's absolutely the case. And those students also seem to be being pushed to the margins of this debate, that they almost don't matter, that there's such a small statistical number that why would we talk about them? Well, you know, 6-7% is still 6-7%, and it's still a lot of people who are not going to have the same pride walking out of that school on that day in the summer as before.
And that's Donal McCarthy there from where you are in Wexford, teacher in the presentation, a secondary school. Valerie, just to go back to where we started, Pat King, I don't know if you heard him, he was quite contrite about what had happened in regard to the barracking of the minister, and saying quite clearly that these were kind of usual suspects who came, you know, not just this year but previous years as well, setting out deliberately and in an orchestrated way from a political point of view, members of political parties opposed to the minister. Now, is that your sense of it as well?
Yes, Sean, that's fairly accurate, because you've got to remember they are actually delegates, and there's very strict security at the entrance to the conference hall, you know, where they're scrutinising your ID before they let you in. They are delegates, they come from various areas of the country, we know their names, they're teachers, and there are links between them to at least three political parties, including a couple of sitting politicians as well. Now, I looked for Megaphone Man before we came on air, Sean. Yes, I thought you'd like to talk to him, but I couldn't find him before we went on air, so we had to let that go. But among the general body of teachers, they're not that happy about what happened yesterday.
Okay, Valerie, thanks for that. Maybe we might be able to talk to Andrew later in the week. Perhaps not by megaphone. Telephone will do just fine. But we leave it there for the moment. Our thanks to Valerie for a conference report on this day three of the teacher conventions in Wexford and in Kilkenny. Back with Paddy O'Gorman. He's also in Kilkenny after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.